and welcome to this edition of Right Here, Right Now, coming to you from the Triangle Sports Network. I'm managing editor Peter Katrumpas, bringing you the latest news from the Carolina Hurricanes, as we had a very interesting New Year's situation for the team as it traveled to Tampa Bay to play the Lightning and to call in the new year, as Eddie Lack had called in sick on the day, and equipment manager George Alves was then called in on a professional tryout opportunity or contract to sit in as the backup to Cam Ward against the Lightning. This was Alves' first ever opportunity to get a call as an NHL netminder, an exciting one for everybody viewing, hearing the news, and watching on TV, as the equipment manager got his chance not only to sit on the bench in an NHL jersey and uniform, but also while performing some duties that he normally does, sharpening skates and taping sticks, he actually got a chance to step onto the ice for the final 7.6 seconds of the game, as Bill Peters gave him that opportunity, a memory of a lifetime and a good gesture for everybody involved, even though the Hurricanes had succumbed to the Lightning 3-1 in the game following a 3-2 win the night before over the Chicago Blackhawks at PNC Arena. George's situation and story is an interesting one, and this one provides a little bit more detail for you for the next 20-25 minutes, so bear with it, as it goes back to an interview that I had with him, really telling his whole story about growing up in Stoughton, Mass, and also his hockey career and how it took its winding road and path to get him to the NHL as an equipment manager, but also one where he's been able to be a backup goaltender in practices and training camps and so forth, and ultimately allowed him to play some pro games in the East Coast Hockey League and the Southern Pro Hockey League, and to stay fine-tuned for an opportunity like the one he got on Saturday night. Enjoy this one. And appreciate everything that George Alves has done and continues to do for the Carolina Hurricanes as they continue on a season and their path towards hopefully a playoff spot, one they haven't seen in quite a long time. But a great feel-good story heading into 2017. Enjoy this one.
Well, obviously, we're kind of taking a step back. Congratulations on getting the position in terms of, you know, where you are in the organization. How long have you been with the Canes again?
It's been on and off for about 7 years.
Okay.
And the past 3 years been on regularly as basically an apprentice.
Okay. And obviously, and going back to playing hockey with state and things like that, I mean, being younger, did you have aspirations of, you know, moving on up, playing when you were younger in high school and junior? Can you give me a little background on your hockey experience?
Yeah, of course. Growing up, I actually really didn't play a whole lot of hockey. It wasn't until I reached the age of, I think it was about 14, 15 years old that I really started playing middle school. And growing up in Massachusetts is kind of awkward because there's a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
And
what part of Mass?
Stoughton, Mass.
I lived in Rhode Island for 9 years, too.
So. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, so I did that, played, didn't really have a chance to play a whole lot of even youth hockey. Our family really couldn't afford it. I have a twin brother, and the both of us played hockey, but we really couldn't afford to, you know, to play the junior or even junior hockey or youth hockey. So so we played a lot of street hockey and things like that. And then when middle school came around, it was free to play. You just had to have good grades.
Okay.
So, so we played there and then played in high school and at Stoughton High. And and from there, obviously, thought about possibly playing junior and things like that, but decided to go into the military.
Okay.
So I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps, which was actually what brought me to North Carolina.
Okay.
To begin with.
Just enlisted, or did you do any ROTC type of program?
No, I was enlisted? Just enlisted. I was in the delayed entry program for a year while I was in my senior year, which basically is, you know, every couple of weeks going and checking in with the recruiting station and doing some, you know, a little bit of training, learning more about the military. Along the lines of an ROTC, but my school didn't offer that. So, so I did that and
straight out of high school.
Straight out of high school. So it was literally 2 weeks after I graduated high school. I went in and didn't know if I was going to play hockey or anything while I was in. I ended up playing soccer, as a matter of fact, because I grew up playing soccer as well and played soccer in the military. And
were you, during your active duty, I mean, did you go in theater or anything like that? Did you go, you know, live or was it more on the base or how was it?
No, it was on base. I was with an infantry unit my first couple of years, and but it was a lot of, you know, just training.
Training,
I got out in 01, so I got out 2 months before 9/11, which I was still in active ready reserves. Mm-hmm. So I was on standby, basically trying to figure out if they were going to recall me or not. But I did, I mean, during that time, you know, I had a second language, being from a Portuguese family and everything, I had a second language. So there were times where I'd be on base, but be on call for, you know, maybe getting shipped to Africa or somewhere Portuguese speaking. So there were times that happened. Been deployed to Okinawa, Japan with my unit. Basically, it's just, you know, a step closer to if something happens around the world, then we're there. You know,
Are you still active duty reserve now?
No, I'm not. Actually, what happens is you do 4 years active duty and then 4 years active ready reserves. So after my 4 years active ready reserves, it was basically, that was it. You know what I mean?
So you said that brought you down to, so high school hockey, and then you're playing soccer on the base while you're active and on reserves. And, and then what brought you down to North Carolina?
Well, North Carolina is where I was stationed. It was at Camp Lejeune, which is a couple hours away from here. Then I met my future wife, which is from Raleigh. And she, ironically enough, in this exact building before it turned into a hockey rink. Yeah, it used to be a club, so we used to we used to come here, and I met her here, and really liked the area. You know, I enjoy the area. And
around what year was that?
That was in about 2000.
Just after you finished your service?
No, it was during.
Oh, during service. Okay, sorry.
So it was around 2000. And then we kind of just dated, and and then decided to move here after I got out.
So then you had some high school background with hockey. Then tell me a little bit about how you got at State, or, you know, what was the plan at the time and staying your hockey.
I didn't know there was a whole lot of hockey. My whole plan was to go ahead and move to back home and go to college and play. I found out after the fact that I did have opportunities to go play junior hockey and or college hockey. Only I didn't know of those opportunities until it was later. My parents really didn't want to send me the letters of invitation or anything while I was in boot camp, thinking that maybe I would regret what I was doing. But I found out after I got out of boot camp and I came back and I said, you know what, if I could essentially get invited to training camps or you know, possibly get a scholarship to go to school, then I'll be able to do it when I get out of the service as well.
You know
what I mean? So I just looked at it as motivation. And and what happened when I moved here, I found out about the club team at NC State. And really that there was a whole lot more hockey around the South than I was aware of. Meaning minor league hockey, things like that. So Mike Young was the one that
he was the coach at the time.
So I talked to him. You know, he's a great guy, and we got to talking. I was like, I do plan on going to school, and I think that would be great. That can play hockey still and go to school here in the South. And so I did that for a couple of years while I was working.
What were you majoring in or looking to try and major in, or just general?
Well, I had sports management, but I was pretty much undeclared. And, you know, because it was one of those things where I still wasn't sure what I wanted to do or what I was. The whole equipment manager thing really didn't come into play until I started skating with the guys here. And that's when I was playing at State.
Right, because they practice here.
One summer they were like, they needed a goalie, and I ended up jumping in net. And then
who needed the goalie?
These guys.
The Hurricanes.
This situation right now, they needed an extra guy. I had a friend that knew Wally and was like, hey, they need a goalie, whatever. And the next thing you know, I was skating every day with them, filling in. It was the year of the lockout. So I think at the time Gerber had been signed, and he wasn't coming until they knew for sure if there was going to be a lockout, because he didn't have a home here or anything. So they needed me. So then I got to know Wally, and then I got kind of busy doing stuff. And being a goalie, I always like messing with gear anyways and things like that. I already worked at a pro shop before, so I had experience with sharpening skates and things along those lines. And but it wasn't until that, me being around this and really getting an idea of exactly what it took, or you know, what equipment managing exactly was, wasn't until it kind of clicked in my head, and I said, well, if it doesn't work out playing-wise, then this is really what I want to do, is still be a part of the game that I love. And,
you never expected it that way, though. I never did. Equipment. Right. Like, nobody says, you know, I want to be an equipment manager for an NHL team.
Exactly.
Off the top.
Well, yeah, exactly. Unless they know somebody and, and understands it already. I had no idea.
And that's how it kind of worked out for you, because you got hooked in to Wally from a friend, and then you and Wally got to build up a relationship.
Right. We got to,
And he knew you knew more than the average
guy. And I had no idea what an equipment guy did. Like, I knew they sharpened skates, but I didn't know to what extent. You know, I hadn't played college, NCAA college hockey for that matter, where they had equipment managers. I didn't play junior hockey at a high level where they had equipment managers, so I didn't really understand that.
Sure.
So I got to see that and understand that, and then once I played a couple of years, you know, at NC State, then I realized, okay, and I'm getting older. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps, so I got out at 21. Yeah. Now I'm starting school, whereas most people are finishing school.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, there may be an opportunity for me to go try and play minor league hockey.
Right.
Fayetteville was the closest one. I was like, you know what, that could be a possibility.
Right.
And I knew somebody who actually knew the assistant GM at the time, and they had a free agent camp coming up, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go. I don't know what I got to lose. You know what
I mean? Right.
So did that and kind of waited around, and you know, without a resume, you know, I played at NC State and it was great, but when it came down to it, they didn't really recognize those stats because it was a club team.
Yeah, it doesn't get the same recognition.
Right.
So then once hockey, did that basically tell you, okay, the road to hockey was kind of ending from a playing point, but you were doing this part-time, the equipment manager?
Well, that was actually still the start for me because with me skating with these guys and everything, I felt like I was always prepared. In some cases, more so than some other guys that were going to minor league teams, because I was skating with NHL guys and then going to training camp there, whereas some of those guys weren't skating with NHL teams and going to training camp. So I figured even though my resume wasn't there, I had kind of one up on a lot of guys. But that didn't always coincide. You know what I mean? It always didn't really work out. So it wasn't until Mike Rowe, as a matter of fact, not Mike Rowe,
Tom
Rowe.
Yeah, coach.
I asked him, I said, well, what do I need to do? Could you give me some advice on what I should do to maybe try to move forward and do this? And he said, you at least start in the East Coast Hockey League level, because that's where you can move from there. So I went to a free agent camp there.
Yeah. Which team?
South Carolina Stingrays.
Okay, Stingrays,
Yep, so I went there knowing that, you know, they're going to have guys sent down. You know, from their American League team or even the National Hockey League. And and so the chances of me making it are very slim either way, not having a resume and stuff. And so I went. I guess I impressed them, because right after camp, even though I got sent home a couple of weeks later, they needed a goalie, so I was called up.
Down there,
So next thing you know, I was kind of what they call an e-bug, emergency backup goalie. And anytime I got a phone call, I was gone. You know, I went after him. No matter where it was, I would go. And I ended up playing on, I want to say it was like 8 or 9 teams in 5 years of chasing my minor league hockey or professional hockey dream of playing. And although it was tough at times, it was also, you know, it was a joy, because I was actually living it. I was getting paid to play hockey, whether it was at, you know, one city one day.
Yeah, give me a couple of the names of the cities. South Carolina Sting.
South Carolina Stingers, Charlotte Checkers.
Charlotte Checkers, Play Roanoke, were they still around? No.
Okay. Pensacola Ice Pilots, Augusta Lynx.
What was the longest stint you had or contract that you had gotten?
Well, Greenville Growl was one as well. Mm-hmm. Greenville Growl, I would go, basically what ended up happening was I would stay with the team, mm-hmm. You know, for a month or two. Kind of started as emergency backup roles, and then they realized, okay, it's going to be longer than just an emergency backup. We'll go ahead and sign your contract, but we don't know how long it's going to be. So it might be a month or 2 months. And then I'd end up, gotta get sent down, and then I'd end up, okay, now where am I going? Well, that happened long enough to where I played, you know, I'd be put in enough games or played enough preseason games that other teams already knew what I was capable of.
Okay.
So as far as emergency backups go, I was the one that everybody was looking for because they knew I've played before, and if the situation comes up, they can do, you know, even though I didn't have a resume or the experience, I was kind of the best e-bug out there that they could get.
Right.
So it turned into getting phone calls from these teams knowing that someone was getting sent down and I'd be available, and they knew that I would go, to all of a sudden, I remember one time when I was at the with South Carolina,
yeah,
during pregame skate, the coach came over and he's like, what do you think about getting traded today? And that's when I realized, okay, I'm accomplishing what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not just an e-bug that's getting released. Now I know there's more than one team asking for me. That's why he's talking about trades. Because he's valuable. There's more than one team. I could get something for him instead of just releasing him.
Right.
And that's kind of where the whole thing kind of started for me, and where I felt like I've reached that goal now. Okay,
yeah.
I'm signing contracts. I'm being traded for other players or money or whatever.
Yeah.
I know there's a value there.
Sure.
So that actually happened where, you know, he told me a pregame skate, and I knew Dan Chesney, who played for Hershey and Washington Caps. I was with the South Carolina Stingrays, and that's where they're affiliated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was like, there's a couple of teams, and I ended up going back to Charlotte. So I got traded to Charlotte, and
At the time, Charlotte was not affiliated with Hurricanes.
No, they were the New York Rangers.
Okay, the Rangers, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's funny, too, because today, like last year and the year before, where I would take care of the visiting teams, a lot of times guys that I played with throughout the years, I played with a lot of guys in the minor leagues, are now in the NHL.
Right.
So
guys like who? Give me a couple of names.
Jeff Delorier, goalie for the Edmonton Oilers. He was my goalie partner in Greenville.
Yeah. So many, all right.
Yeah, I'm trying to
That's okay as we keep talking. So, okay, at what point, you know, and you were doing this stuff part-time here at the same time, or that was just strictly hockey?
Yeah, it'd be part-time doing stuff here and there.
Okay, a couple of days a week, or how did it work with Wally? Like, what do you want
it,
you
just,
to do?
It just, you know what, I was kind of a bug. I was that fly that kept on showing up and stuff like that to help out anything you need.
Like
you
over know, here, like yeah, if like you weren't playing a game in the E somewhere.
Exactly.
Like
then I would come back, and then they'd put me to work too. We're either working in the visiting room during game days or whatever.
Okay.
And then if there was practice here, I'd come in, and and it was one of those things where like I wasn't getting paid for it, but I enjoyed that. I enjoyed being around. That's how I learned how to become a pro hockey player, is being around pro hockey players.
Right.
So that to me, that was very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
That if I wasn't playing somewhere, if I got released because a guy got sent down and I had to go home for a couple of weeks, I wanted to be around it. I wanted to learn how to be a professional athlete.
Right.
Learn how to be what the equipment side was, too. I wanted to learn all that stuff. So so that's when I realized, I'm like, okay, well, this is, you know, obviously it is that difficult. A lot of people realize it is difficult, but it's even more so when you don't go through the right avenues to reach that. I wasn't scouted when I was 14, 15 years old.
Sure.
I didn't play junior hockey. I didn't get a scholarship. I didn't, you know what I mean?
I didn't
do all those things. So that makes it even harder to reach that level.
Mm-hmm.
But I was extremely happy to be able to play at the East Coast level, to be able to get paid to play hockey. Not everybody could say there were guys with better resumes than me that were sitting at home and never got a chance to play pro hockey. So I take a lot of pride in that, and the fact that I stayed persistent with it and was able to actually do that.
Is that the way you paid the bills in a way, kind of hockey was? So when you kind of committed time here, and apprenticing, so to speak.
Exactly.
It kind of met that gap, but when did that kind of end or just start? So that was a paying gig or something.
Basically, I mean, it didn't pay a whole lot of money.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
And it was tough. Mm-hmm. It was tough, paycheck to paycheck, and not knowing if I was going to have a job here or a job there or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was very hard. But it came to the point where I was having my daughter, my first child, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, well, this is something that I really have to consider because I don't know what city I'm going to be at what point. I can't just do this to my family.
Yeah.
And my wife was very supportive with all that. So I'm like, well, now that we have a child coming, if something isn't solid for a season, I know I'm going to play somewhere, yeah. then I have to do something.
Right.
And actually, that was the time where I ended up going and playing somewhere, and they needed an equipment manager. And what happened was they found out that I had done stuff with the Hurricanes here and there, so they knew I had experience.
Yeah.
And I remember the GM and the owner of the team, as a matter of fact, after a game one night came to me and said, hey, look, we don't have an equipment manager.